Future, the golden future. Responses to disciples' questions given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 36.
Beloved Bhagwan, from my early boyhood, I was strongly attracted to astronomy and nuclear sciences. It was a search for truth. As a result, I very soon rejected the idea of Christianity. Today, I understand that the deeper scientists go into the matter, the more they realize that they are thrown back on themselves, acknowledging that it is man who determines the cosmos to appear according to his own consciousness. That reminds me of what I understand you to be constantly saying. Although these scientists realize that the Earth clock shows 2 minutes to 12, and although, as scientists, they should not have prejudices, your vision of the new man does not seem to appeal to them. Do they belong to the same category as politicians? Science is so excitingly interesting, but on the other hand, I found that it does not transform at all. What is it good for? Beloved Master, am I wasting my time with it? When I see you laughing, I melt with joy.
सत्यै धैर्व द क्वेश्चन यू हैव आस्क्ड इम्प्लाइज मेनी क्वेश्चंस इन इट फर्स्ट Are the scientists also of the same category as politicians in a way? Yes. The politician is the one whose whole desire is to have power. Hence, anybody whose desire is to have power, power particularly over others, they may be human beings, or they may be material objects, makes no difference. The politician is struggling to have power over people, the scientist is struggling to have power over matters. But the desire is the same, and the mind is the same. Hence, in one way, they both are in the same boat. But there are many other aspects in which science is totally different from politics. Politics enslaves living people, hence it is more violent. Science tries to conquer over matter, hence it is not a violent search. But science has grown to such complexity that now it is not possible for individual scientists to work on their own. They need immense support from politicians. Their projects of research are so expensive that only government, that too of very rich nations, can afford them. So the scientist unknowingly has fallen a victim in the hands of the politician. Now he works as a servant to nationalism, to communism, to fascism, to capitalism. He is no more an independent seeker. He is far of a certain political ideology. He works and discovers that he has no control over his own discoveries. The control is in the hands of the politician. In which direction he should work, that too is being given by the politician. Otherwise, they will not support financially any other kind of project. And their only project is war. So thousands of scientists of immense intelligence, talent, and genius had become just a slave of a political mechanism. Which exploits their intelligence in the service of war and death. Science can be of great importance, if two things are added to it. One is that it should not only be an objective search, it should also open the subjective doors of consciousness. The scientist should not go on working on objects only, he has to work upon the scientist himself. Up to now he has been denying his own consciousness. It is such an absurd attitude, so illogical and so unscientific. That it brings scientists closer to the so-called superstitious religion. They believe blindly in a God they know nothing about. And scientist goes on disbelieving in himself. The superstition is enormous, unbelievable. If there is nobody inside you, if there is no consciousness in you, then who is going to discover the mysteries and secrets of matter, nature, and life? At this point, science has been behaving in an old superstitious way. It has been imitating religions. I have been in contact with many professors of science, and not a single one of them was able to give any argument in support of this superstition. They simply go on repeating that consciousness is only a byproduct of matter. And whenever I have asked them, on what grounds you are saying it, who is the scientist who has proved it? Which are the discoveries which have been made which support the idea? just because a man who was not a scientist at all, who was an economist, Karl Marx, created this idea that consciousness is only a byproduct of matter, because he wanted to deny God and he wanted to deny soul, his approach was philosophical. Communism goes on believing in Karl Marx. It can be understood if in Soviet Union the scientist was repeating the same as Karl Marx, because there to say anything against Karl Marx is to go against the holy scripture of communism. It is the same as in a fanatic Christian society, you cannot say anything against the Bible. You may be right, that does not matter. It is not a question of being right or wrong. Holy Bible cannot be contradicted. That is unforgivable sin. But the same is the situation in Soviet Union as far as Karl Marx and his book Das Kapital is concerned. But in the free world, where people are pretending to have the right of the freedom of expression, there too the scientists go on repeating without any understanding that Karl Marx was not a scientist and his statement is not based on any experiment. He was an atheist, just as there are people who believe in God without knowing anything about God, there are people who do not believe in God without knowing anything about God. They don't differ basically. Their quality is the same. So on one aspect, the scientist behaves like a fanatic fundamentalist Christian. He goes on denying consciousness. And unless science opens up the dimension of one's own interiority, it will not become a total subject, a whole subject, it will remain partial. Its viewpoint will remain only half of the truth. And you should remember that a whole lie is better than half a truth. Because the whole lie will be detected soon. The half truth is very dangerous because it has something of truth in it. It can keep people for centuries in darkness. And 3 centuries have already passed for scientists have been working, but they have not dared to inquire into the innermost being of man. That is one thing that has to be added to science, then it can become of tremendous importance to add subjectivity to the objective science means adding to the methods of concentration the methods of meditation. The methods of concentration take you out. They are extroverts. Science requires a mind who has the capacity to concentrate. Meditation requires the capacity to go beyond mind, to go into silence, to be absolutely a pure nothingness. Unless science accepts meditation as a valid method of inquiry, it will remain a half-hearted search and because of its half-heartedness, it is dangerous. It can serve easily the purposes of death because it does not believe in consciousness. It believes in the dead matter. So it does not matter whether Nagasaki happens or Hiroshima happens or even if the whole globe commits suicide, it doesn't matter because all is matter. There is no consciousness, nothing is lost. The scientist will revolt against the politicians only when the dimension of meditation is added in his research, in his work. Secondly, the scientist has to remember now that he is providing to the politician self-destructive, nuclear weapons he is behaving against humanity, he is behaving against the new man, the new humanity, he is behaving against his own children. He is sowing seeds of death for all. It is time that scientists should learn to discriminate what helps life and what destroys life. Just because of their salaries and comforts, they should not go on like slaves and robots working for wars. And a great destruction which is unprecedented. The scientist has to be a revolutionary too. He has to be a spiritual seeker first, and second, he has to be a revolutionary. And he has to remember not to serve death, whatsoever the cost, he has not to follow the directions from politicians, he has to decide himself what is helpful to the whole cosmos, what is helpful to the ecology, what is helpful to a better life, to a more beautiful existence. And he has to condemn the politicians if they force him to work in the service of death. He has to refuse totally. Everywhere, in Soviet Union, in America, in China, in every country all over the world, the scientists need a global association of their own, which can decide what researches should be taken in hand and what researches should be dropped. Up to now, science has been accidental. People have been just groping in the dark, finding something, become great discoverers. Now that time is over. Groping in the dark, they have found atom bombs, nuclear weapons. They have done great service. Now it is their responsibility to destroy all the nuclear weapons all atomic weapons even though it goes against your so-called nationalism, your so-called communism, your so-called democracy, nothing matters, because now even the very existence of man is at stake. Just as one day scientists have revolted against religion and its dictates, now they have to revolt again against the politicians and their dictates. The scientist has to stand on his own and be absolutely clear that he is not being exploited. He is being exploited everywhere. Just because he is being paid great salaries, given Nobel Prizes, great honors, he is ready to sacrifice the whole humanity for his Nobel Prizes, for all those stupid awards, he has no more to behave like children. These awards and these prizes and these respectable posts are all toys to befool. And even your great scientists are behaving like fools. I would like my people to create an uproar all over the world against scientists who are serving governments and politicians in creating war mechanisms . The masses has to be awakened against these scientists. They have become now the greatest dangers. And their association with politicians has to be broken. Science in itself can become both accepting meditation, it can become religion. Being rebellious, it can create a better life, more affluent, more abundance. It can be the greatest blessing to mankind, outwardly, inwardly. But right now, it is one of the greatest dangers. Satyam Bhairava, you are worried and concerned that the scientists are not at all aware of the new man. They cannot be. They are in the service of the old man and the old humanists, the old politicians, the old ideologies. In fact, they are preparing a funeral for the new man. They should prepare a funeral for the old man, which is already dead. And we are carrying its corpse . It stinks. But we have become immune because we have been born in a society which has been carrying corpses. We have grown up in a society, in educational institutions, everywhere corpses are worshipped. If there is anywhere on another planet life, and scientists suspect that at least there is life on 50,000 planets in the whole universe, and there may be planets where science has grown to far higher reaches, they may be able to observe our behavior. And they will be simply surprised. What our geniuses are doing, it would have been better that there were more idiots and less geniuses. At least life would have continued. These geniuses are going to destroy the whole life. The new man can be accepted only if they understand that the world does not consist only of dead objects, it also consists of living beings. Not only living beings, but beings who are conscious too. And there is a possibility of growing this consciousness to great peace. A Gautam Buddha or a Zarathustra are like Everest, Himalayan peaks. They show, they indicate the potential of every human being. Just a little effort and you can also reach their heights. You can also reach the sunlit peaks. You need not live always in the dark caves in the valleys of misery. The dark night need not remain forever. There is a possibility to come out of the dark night. Into a beautiful morning with birds singing and flowers blossoming. The scientists need a great incentive for meditation. Only then they will be able to see what they have been doing is against the future of mankind. They are destroying the very hope. While with the same intelligence they could have created a paradise on earth for the new men, for their children and their children's children to live in a better world with more health, with more love, with more consciousness. Satyam Bhairava, you are right that science is so excitingly interesting, but it can be even more interesting. It has to become religious. It has to become spiritual. It has not to exhaust all its energies on the outer world, but has to penetrate into the treasures of our inner being. And you are right also that I have found that it does not transform anything at all. What is it good for? It has great potential. But it is not yet used. Just as it has been successful in penetrating into the very secret of matter, it has the capacity to penetrate into the very secret of consciousness too. then it will be a great blessing, a great benediction. As far as I am concerned, and my vision for new humanity is concerned, I see science as having two dimensions. One, the lower dimension, working on objects, and the higher dimension, working on consciousness. And the lower dimension has to work as a servant for the higher dimension. Then there is no need of any other religion. Then science fulfills totally the whole needs of man. But right now you are right that it transforms nothing. It cannot, unless it approaches consciousness and works out how to develop more consciousness in man, how to make his unconscious change into conscious, how to transform his darkness into a noontide, it will not be of any great use. On the contrary, it is proving to be one of the greatest dangers. It was Albert Einstein who wrote a letter before the Second World War to President Roosevelt of America, that I can create atomic energy and atom bombs. And if you don't have atom bombs, I can predict that it is impossible to win Germany in the war. Albert Einstein was a German Jew. He was working in Germany, researching under the German government, under Adolf Hitler himself, for creating an atom bomb. Just the very idea, if he was not a Jew, the whole history of the world would have been totally different. If Germany could have produced atom bombs, then there was no power, either of America or of Soviet Union or of England, to stand in front of Adolf Hitler. he would have conquered the whole world. But because he was a Jew, although he was so important that he was not harassed by Adolf Hitler and his people, but he was seen, millions of Jews were disappearing. Actually evaporating as smoke in the gas chambers of the Nazi government. He would not have been killed because he was so much needed and there was nobody else to replace him. But he became afraid that if Adolf Hitler wins over then all over the world there will not be left a single Jew alive. He was not afraid about his own life. It was safe because Adolf Hitler needed him. He escaped Germany, leaving the experiment incomplete. The German scientists did everything, but there was no other Albert Einstein to complete the experiment. And he wrote a letter to the enemy of Germany, to America, that I have escaped from Germany and I am ready to make atom bombs for America. And without atom bombs, you cannot win Germany. And there is also a fear that somebody may be able to complete the experiment that I have left incomplete, because there were many scientists working with me, under me, Roosevelt immediately invited him, gave him all the facilities. And it was President Truman in whose time the atom bombs were produced by Albert Einstein . And he asked Truman that now there is no need to use them because Germany has committed a historical mistake. The historical mistake has been committed by many times. Anybody who wants to fight with Russia committed a historical mistake, then he is doomed. Because 9 months the whole country is covered with snow. And Rasa is so vast, it covers two continents. From one corner of Europe to the other corner of Asia. And there are only 3 months when the weather is clear enough to fight. And Russia has a great army to prevent the enemy for 3 months and wait for the winter. Winter lasts for 9 months. Then Russia need not fight. That winter finishes the enemies without any trouble. Nobody can survive Russian winters except Russians. It needs a lifelong training. Napoleon got lost in the First World War. Germany got lost, and Adolf Hitler again committed the same mistake. But now, Truman did not even answer the letter of Albert Einstein. The first letter was received with such great joy, and he was invited with great welcome, was given all the facilities that he needed. But now the bombs were already in the hands of the politicians. Who cares about Albert Einstein? And he was saying simply that now there is no need. Germany is finished. And within 2 weeks, at the most, Japan will be finished. Because Japan cannot stand on his own. It was the German support . There is no need to use these bombs, but Truman was in a hurry to use. Because if Germany has surrendered and Japan also surrenders, then there is no opportunity to see what great power America has, and to show to the whole world. Nagasaki and Hiroshima was destroyed unnecessarily. Japan was ready to surrender. Preparations were being done how the surrenders should happen. Negotiations were going on between the generals, and Truman ordered that before the surrenders, at least we should try how much power we have got. Once the war ends, we won't have any opportunity. 200,000 people in two great cities, died within 10 minutes, and not only people, but trees, animals, birds, everything alive suddenly became dead. Albert Einstein was so much sobbed. That before his death, somebody asked him, if you are born again, would not you like to be a physicist in your new life? He said, never. If I am born again, I would rather like to be a plumber than to be a physicist. Enough is enough. I have seen how I work day in, day out to create the atomic weapons. They were for emergency, but once they were created, I had no power over them. I had created them, but once they were created, the politicians had the keys in their hands, and my letter was not even answered. I am dying one of the most frustrated men on the earth. He was one of the most successful men, perhaps the greatest scientist that we have ever known, but his own feeling was far more truer. He was a man of conscience, he died almost like a wounded lion, utterly frustrated with politicians and their ugliness, their murderous and criminal mind. Up to now, certainly, science has not been much of a transformation as far as human consciousness is concerned. But it has the potential. Just a great awakening is needed. And the scientist has to realize his responsibility. That he has almost become a god. Either he can create or he can destroy. He has to be reminded that he is no more the old scientist of the times of Galileo, just working in his own house with few tubes and few bottles and just mixing chemicals and experimenting, those days are gone. Now he has the power to destroy the whole life of this planet or to create a life so beautiful and so blissful that man has only imagined it in heaven. It can be possible here. Few small groups of scientists have started working on those lines. Nobody believes them. In Manali, in one of the press interviews, I was talking about the possibility. Creative and absolutely new possibilities that science can open the door. Neelam was there. And she reported to Nirvana in Kathmandu that I was talking off the wall. And I can understand that anybody will think what I was saying was off the wall. It will appear like that. But just the other day, Japan has created an artificial island because in Japan there is so much a shortage of land. That it is becoming impossible to expand industries, and Japan has become the richest country in the world. It needs more and more land. The old way is to conquer some other country. That is not possible anymore. The fear of a third world war hangs over everybody. Japan has created an artificial island which will be used for industrial development. It will be floating in the ocean. Once it becomes a success, many more artificial islands, and Japan will be creating more earth than God had created in those 6 days. There are tremendous possibilities for science. Once it's serves no more death it can float cities in the ocean Japan has also successfully tried to make underground cities because why go on with the old conception that you have to live overground you can live underground and it is more peaceful there and you can get right kind of light right kind of oxygen because everything will depend in the hands of the scientists I was talking about such things in that press interview and poor Neelam thought that I am talking off the wall just as underground cities are possible floating cities in the ocean are possible under the ocean cities are possible flying cities are possible Once science changes its attitudes, and it stops being supportive to politicians for wars. So much energy will be released. That scientists can do all these things which may appear off the wall to you, but they don't appear off the wall to me. To me, all that seems to be almost predictable. It is going to happen because the earth is going to be overburdened with population. It has already reached 5 billion. And by the year 2010 it would have doubled. Ten billion population, this poor earth, which has been exploited for centuries, will not be able to support. You will have to create artificial food. Perhaps new vegetables, new foods. In Soviet Union they are already having new fruits which God had not created in those 6 days. just as animals can be created by cross breeding, they are cross breeding trees and creating new fruits, giving them the right taste, right juice, fruits which man has never eaten, for which there is no name in the dictionary. They are being given new names and man may have to live more and more on chemical foods. Perhaps it may be more healthy, because right now whatever you eat, 95% is roughage. It has to be thrown out of the body. Only hardly 5% is used. This is sheer nonsense. This is burdening your digestive system unnecessarily. Why not give exactly that 5% only that your body needs? And if your digestive system is not tired, your life's length will become longer. It is the digestive system that kills you. All the experiments about digestive system show that it has been tried on many animals. Animals which were given enough food, as much as they wanted, had only half the life span. And the animals who were given half the food than they asked for lived twice the time. The first group lived 10 years, the second group lived 20 years, because the digestive system remained more fresh, younger, untired. And if man's food becomes more and more chemical, more and more scientific, it will not be digested. It can be directly injected. There is no need to tire your digestive system. And if your digestive system remains stronger, younger, your life will become longer. The scientists say man can live very easily 300 years without becoming old. Science has great possibilities, Satyam Bhairava. Just we have not been yet capable to use those possibilities. And all the scientists are in the service of politicians, of governments, That means in the service of death and war. A great revolution is needed, just as the revolted ones against religion, fought against religion, now they have to fight against politics, against nationalism. Their responsibility is great. The new man will need them and their revolution. They are the most important people for the survival of humanity.
Beloved Bhagwan, I never have sex, and I don't feel like having sex. I don't think that I am beyond sex, but I love meditation and dancing much more, although it is difficult to accept this. Sex is not happening, and I like that it is not happening. Bhagwan, does it mean that in order to be a sannyasin, I must have sex? I don't like it if it is not a natural happening, if it is only a sex and mind meeting and not meditation. I enjoy being alone. I see myself in conflict a lot with this, but I can also accept the way I am. Then it all disappears from the mind and my heart opens again. Bhagwan, is something wrong with me?
Anand Dolano Nothing is wrong with you. Repression of sex is evil. But if sex is not a natural desire in you, to force it will be a repression. There are people who are forcing their natural desire of sex and trying to be celibate. They are going against their nature. And if you don't have any inclination towards sex, forcing it will be going against your nature. It will be the same kind of crime. A sannyasin needs to be natural. And you have to listen to your own body, your own instincts, your own intuition, and follow it. You are not to do anything against your nature. If you like to be alone, and enjoy meditating, that's what everybody else is trying. First they are trying to get finished with sex so that they can enjoy being alone. You are in a better position. You don't have to pass through the hell. You have already passed somehow, perhaps in your past life. You are out of the hell. Now don't try to get into the dark tunnel again. Even the people whom I say don't repress sex are not being told to remain always sexual. In fact, repression of sex keeps you always sexual. Once you have lived it totally, you are finished with it. And sooner you are finished, the better. Because then you can sit silently without being bothered. By the need of anybody else as a companion, you are enough unto yourself, and that is the most important thing for a meditator. The enoughness of aloneness. But I can understand your problem. Here you must be seeing everybody is bringing problems about sex, their fight. Somebody is completely satisfied, that is his boredom. Somebody is not satisfied, he wants more satisfaction, that is his problem. Somebody is not feeling boredom, that is his problem. Listening to all these problems, naturally anybody will get worried that what is my problem? If you don't have any problem, it certainly means something is wrong with you. Nothing is wrong with you. You just enjoy being yourself. Your meditation, your silence, and let these people pass through their darkness. One day they will all come out of the tunnel. Then you can greet them. But just seeing that everybody is in the tunnel fighting, shouting, don't be worried sitting outside the tunnel in the light, in silence, that something seems to be wrong with me. Everybody is in the tunnel. What I am doing here? All the meditators are in the tunnel. Nobody is meditating, but they all have come here to meditate. Only I am meditating. My wife is a typical Jew, complained the man to his companion. She only makes love doggy style. Doggy style? Said his companion. I don't believe it. It is true. I sit up and beg, and she rolls over and plays dead. Let them play whatever style they want. You simply don't get distracted from your meditation. You are perfectly right. And all these people are trying to reach in your position. You don't have to descend into their troubles and their problems. You are blessed. It rarely happens what is happening to you. It happens only because of your past life. There is no other explanation. In your past life, you must have been meditating. You must have been with a master. You must have come to a point where sex became meaningless. Where the need of the others dropped, when you became enough unto yourself, and your loneliness changed into aloneness. Hence, in this life, you are carrying all that you have achieved in your past life. It is because of such experiences that all three Eastern religions had accepted the idea of reincarnation. The three other religions which are born out of India have no explanation for such an experience. Christianity, Judaism, Mohammedanism, all three religions cannot explain your situation. But Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, has a very logical, scientific explanation that you are carrying a quality that you achieved in your past life. Nothing is lost. Once you have achieved it, it goes on with your consciousness into new life, into new bodies.
Yes, so good.